seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and the last part of verse 17. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and the last part of the 17th verse. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and the last part of verse 17. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. This was a very clear and blessed message given by Moses as the message of heaven to the dear children of Israel. And one feels this is what we so need in this dark and solemn day, because there are many hard cases, many hard causes that the Lord's dear children are passing through. And I want us help firstly this afternoon to just remind you of a few sacred cases from God's holy word where they were enabled to do this. You may wonder why we read together that ninth chapter in the Gospel of Mark. In it was the case of the dear man whose son Satan was out to destroy. And he first took the child to the dear disciples. They'd been given power to cast out devils and to heal the sick, but on this occasion they could not. And Jesus made it very clear afterwards why they could not. He said, this kind can come forth by prayer and fasting. You see, they questioned why they couldn't cast the devil out, why they couldn't heal the dear lad. But you see, it was a hard case. And one of the reasons why they couldn't deliver him was because of their unbelief. And so often it is with us, isn't it? You see, this soul that's really brought to the reality of this text, then the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, needs faith to do it, doesn't it? And when we are given a grain of living faith, like the Lord gave to that dear man, then we can truly bring it to the Lord, believing that he will sweetly fulfil what he has said. And so as we name the text today, may the Lord give us that faith to truly believe he will sweetly fulfil it. But to go back to the case of that dear man, you see, the disciples couldn't deliver the child. He was past all men. He was a hard cause. But it wasn't too hard for the dear Saviour, was it? And what seemed to so rest upon me when this text came and prayerfully trying to think of what we should read this afternoon, immediately that case came to me. And what did Jesus say when he heard of the case? He didn't say, "I'll send him away," did he? He says this, "Bring him unto me." Bring him unto me. You know, it's a wonderful word, isn't it? And what may be with you this afternoon as these hard causes, may we lay that to heart. Bring him unto me. And why did he have to bring him to the Saviour? Because it was only the Lord Jesus that could cast the devils out. No man could. And you look how active Satan was. And if you've got a real religion and I have, the devil will be ever active. He cast the lad into the fire and into the water to try and destroy him. And how did he come to the Saviour? I love those words. He said, if thou canst do anything. So urgent was his case, wasn't it? If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And what did Jesus say to the dear man? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And how did the dear man reply to the Saviour? It came right out of the depths of his heart, and he said with tears. Notice the real contrition there was within him. He said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In other words, take all this unbelief away, Lord. And that'll be your inmost soul's longing. How often we have to plead it, don't we? Lord, deliver us from all this unbelief. You see, this is what the children of Israel were playing with here, wasn't it? They doubted this and they doubted that and they doubted something else. When the Lord had made it absolutely clear to them, he would bring them through and bring them to the promised land. But there they were, clogged down by unbelief. What does the dear hymn writer say? Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. But God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. It was one of the cardinal sins, really, of the children of Israel, was unbelief. And how hard it is to get rid of it, isn't it? We cannot, can we? It may be there's one this afternoon so plagued with unbelief. We're doubting in this, doubting in that, fearing in this, fearing in that. Because of unbelief. But what did Moses say? And Jesus put the same blessed words to the dear man. Bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. Now, look how the Lord cast those devils out. And he can do that today. Oh, he can. He can do it in a moment. Let's just name another wonderful case in a very similar line, really. You think of Legion. We read concerning Legion several things. First of all, that no man could tame him. The devil was so let loose in Legion, he was out to destroy him. And that's what Satan is trying to do with each one of the Lord's dear children. He's out to destroy them. He's fighting against not only your poor heart, but against the Lord. And there was the dear man, possessed with a legion of devils, not just one, a legion of devils. But then, secondly, look how hard he was. No man could tame him. And are we not like that? Hardened? And have a hard heart? How many times do you weep and I and mourn? It's one of the things I weep over, I was going to say above many things really. The hardness of my heart. And no man can soften. They couldn't legion's heart, could they? And no man can soften yours or mine. And we cannot soften them ourselves. But the Lord knows how to soften them. It's like I said in prayer, and I often quote it because it's such a wonderful word to my soul, what Job was enabled to say, "For God maketh my heart soft. For the cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me." How often do you bring your hard heart to the Lord? Lord, do soften this hard heart, this rebellious heart. And you know the Lord can do it in a moment. The Lord's a sovereign. He did it with legion. He cast the devils out of him. And he brings him to the feet of Jesus. And if you, poor soul, I are ever brought to the feet of Jesus, like that dear man was, we should know what it is for our heart to be made soft. Because at the feet of Jesus there's no room for hardness, there's no room for rebelliousness. I remember going to a meeting many years ago now. There was a dispute between two ministers. And I always think of what Mr. Jesse Dale said at that meeting. He said, "You know, if you two men were brought to the feet of Jesus, we wouldn't be here today." Because, he said, if you were both brought there, you'd both have a soft heart, and you'd bury all your disagreements. And, you know, I've never forgot how he said it. It silenced everything. You think, and legion, no man could tame it. Didn't matter how much they tried, a hard heart, a hard case, a cause that was too hard for men. But he says, bring him unto me. Bring it unto me. And you see, when the Lord softens, now he uses, I use an illustration of two means really. First of all, the Lord can use severe means. With Saul of Tarsus, just to step back what I looked at a little this morning, he started that road to Damascus, a very hard man. Hardened against God, hardened against the dear Lord Jesus, hardened against the Lord's people. What could tame him? What could give him a soft heart? Now the Lord used severe means. He speaks from heaven, right into that dear man's heart. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And the arrow of divine conviction went right into the heart of that man. And it knocked out of him every particle of the hardness. And the light that shone from heaven shone right into his heart and showed Saul exactly what there was within him. A stench of sin, a soul corrupted with vileness throughout. You know, when the light shines, it soon reveals if something's dirty, doesn't it? The sun only has to shine on it. You can soon see it then. You look at it other times, there seems nothing wrong. But as soon as the sun shines on it, and the sun of righteousness shone right into the heart of Saul of Tarsus. The others saw the light, but it was he that heard the voice. But then sometimes the Lord will remove the hardness by laying affliction upon us. I think, and I read it, I believe it's in the Cheering Word, Friendly Companion, I think, or the Cheering Words this month, and that beautiful verse where the Lord says this, I will by means like these thy stubborn temper break, soften thy heart by due degrees, and make thy spirit meek. You know, it's a wonderful verse, that, isn't it? You see, when the Lord lays affliction upon us, sometimes it's to soften us, to remove from us all the hardness we have. Affliction in and of itself will only harden a person. But under the sanctifying work of the blessed Holy Spirit, it can soften the hardest of characters. Oh, it can. If, to look at it in its reality, if affliction in and of itself could soften, it would have softened many in the world today. But it doesn't. Many rebel against it, and our old flesh does, doesn't it? Ours is no different than the world. But under the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit, you see, is to remove this hardness and this hard cause there is within us. But then, oh, you look how that dear man sat at the feet of Jesus. But the other side of it is this. I thought about it while you were singing that beautiful hymn just now on the preciousness and loveliness of the dear Redeemer. You know, the Lord can melt the hard heart and those hard causes you have by a taste of his love. Oh yes, just a taste of the love of Christ in our poor souls. And the mark of that celestial seal will never be erased. Just to have a taste. I'll go as far as to say this. One of the old saints, the old ministers years ago said it. Friends, if you've ever had a taste of the love of Christ in your soul, you're never sinking to hell. Because once he loves, he never leaves, but loves his dear children to the end. A taste of it. And that will remove all the hardness, you see. Oh, it will. And then the sweet presence of Christ in our souls. It warms us with heavenly heat. And take away all the coldness and deadness and hardness of our heart, the cause that's too hard for thee. Bring it unto me. Bring it unto me. And I will hear it, he says. I will hear it. take it to the Lord and get the Lord's ear on the matter. It's a wonderful thing this word is, isn't it? He not only bids them to bring the cause that they have, which is too hard for them, to the Lord, that he's promising them the Lord will hear it. He will hear it. There's everything in this which you'll need. Let me just look at one further case regarding this. In a few ways, and it is regarding Hezekiah. And you think how the Lord heard that dear man. You know, looking at his case, it was a hard cause, wasn't it? There was affliction upon the dear man. He was sorely afflicted. Death was at the doors. But not only that, the Lord had spoken to him, "Thou shalt die and not live." The sentence of death was upon him. "Thou shalt die and not live." How would you feel, and me this afternoon, if the Lord said that to you and me, in deep affliction, "Thou shalt die and not live. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." It's a solemn thing, you know, if our house is not in order when we come to die. The house, first of all, being under the roof of the skin, our own heart. Our own house where we dwell. And then the house of God. And then with Hezekiah, it was the city of Jerusalem. And not only this, but the nation. And everything wasn't in order, and the Lord said to him, "Thou should die and not live." It was a hard cause, wasn't it? And not only that, the city of Jerusalem and the land were surrounded by the Assyrian army. They were out to destroy, and to destroy Hezekiah. But where did he have to go with it all? It was a hard cause. He didn't say, "Well, I'll sit down, I'll put my own heart in order, I'll put my own house in order, I'll put the house of God in order, I'll put Jerusalem in order, and I'll put the nation in order." He didn't try and attempt it himself, did he? What did he do? He turns and he faces the silent wall. And what does that illustrate to us? He turned away from everything of man and approaches unto his God. What does the text say? "In the cause that is too hard for you." It was too hard for poor Hezekiah, wasn't it? "Bring it unto me." And that's exactly what the dear man was enabled to do. "And I will hear it." I will hear it. I hear, Hezekiah, all thy groanings for thy soul. I will hear all thy concern and cause of thy own house, and I will hear all thy cause and concern for the house of God, and for the nation, and for Jerusalem. And what did the Lord do? He sent the prophet Isaiah back with the message from heaven. And what a beautiful message it was, wasn't it? Go and say unto Hezekiah, I am the God of David, thy father, and then listen. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. But that wasn't all. And I will defend this city. Nothing could destroy it, you see. And you look how the Lord worked. Hezekiah didn't lift one finger in it. The Lord did it all. And that's why the dear man could sing the praises of that last part of chapter 38 in Isaiah. And what does he say? The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Bring it unto me, I will hear it, the Lord says. He loves to hear from his dear children, you know. Those of us that have families, we love to hear from them, don't we? It shows love and drawing and encourages us, doesn't it? Well, think about it regarding the Lord and his people. Do you and do I continually speak to him and long for him to speak to us? You know, I say this reverently and rightly, but it's not a one-way street, you know. The Lord loves to hear from his dear people. His dear children in all their troubles and distress, and they love to hear from him. And if you look in the case of Hezekiah, you know the Lord heard those groanings of Hezekiah. Those tears were all seen by the Lord, and they weren't just outward tears, and I say it reverently and rightly, they weren't crocodile tears that are just put on for the occasion. Those tears of Hezekiah came out of his inmost soul. They were heart tears. It's easy for us to cry naturally, but what cries are there in our heart? How many tears are shed there? The Lord sees them, and he speaks about them being put in his bottle, doesn't he? The tears of his people. But do we not long to hear from him? And Hezekiah was favoured to hear from him, wasn't he? I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Oh, may we lay this to heart this afternoon. But then, there's another word that seems to rest upon me, and I don't know why I name it, but you know, you may have, thinking of these hard causes, things you cannot understand, and they seem so crooked. And I think of that beautiful word, what the Lord said. I will make the crooked things straight, and the rough places plain, and the darkness light. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Now you think of the hard case you got, the hard cause, and it seems so crooked. A lesson for us poor soul is this: don't try yourself to put it straight. They were to hear, bring this hard cause to the Lord. And he was to hear, and not only was he to hear, but he was to put it straight. You know, so often, if we start to touch things, we're like a man with dirty hands touching a white piece of paper. You see, if a man with dirty hands touches a white piece of paper, it leaves its mark, doesn't it? And why does it leave its mark? Because all we do, in and of ourselves, is contaminated by sin. And sin leaves a dirty mark. But when the Lord works, there's no sin, and I speak this reverently and rightly with the Lord's work, it's pure. We're told in the Word of God that the Word of God is pure, and what the Lord does is pure. As for God, his way is perfect. His work is perfect. There's no sin in God's work. And this is why when the Lord makes crooked things straight, he makes them straight because he has all power to. And what he does is pure and holy and right. What we do, left to and of ourselves, if we try and do it in our own strength or in our own ability or our own might, is sins mixed with it all. Oh, it is. And so often it can make it worse, more crooked. Then he says about the rough places, I will make the crooked things straight. You may have some crooked things that are too hard for you this afternoon. Well, the text is clear, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And not only will he hear it, but he'll make it all straight. He did with Hezekiah. He set his heart in order. He set his own house in order. Because at that time, when the Lord spoke to him, if I understand it rightly, thou shalt die and not live, there was no successor to the throne. So everything in the royal house was not yet in order. And then when it came to the house of God, there were many things, you know, that Hezekiah had to root out and cast out. But those idols that had crept in, they all had to be removed, and the Lord did it. And then what about this great Syrian army? Hezekiah and his little army was no match to them, but you see, the Lord was on Hezekiah's side. Oh, he was. If God be for us, who then can be against us? It's like David, you know, he proved it when he went forth to fight Goliath. It didn't matter how great the giant was, it didn't matter how great the Philistine army was, they were nothing compared to the God of heaven. The cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And then you may have those rough places, you see, things that you cannot begin to understand. The way seems so rough. And really, when you look through the wilderness journey, it's like the hymn writer said, wasn't it? A rough and rugged path we tread in hopes to see his face. You know, the path to heaven won't be easy. It's a rough and rugged path. You know, when the Lord spoke to them, those beautiful words unto the tribe of Asher, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And you look how he gave them those shoes of iron and brass, because the way was going to be so rough. There were so many serpents, fiery serpents, so many scorpions. They needed them. He well shod them. And what do we read? Neither did their foot swell these 40 years. And you know, if you try and walk across rough ground, you can soon have a foot that swells. Looking at it in a natural way. And you think, he gave them those shoes of iron and brass. Neither did their foot swell these 40 years. Wonderful thing, wasn't it? And who did it? The Lord himself. He that hath all power in heaven and in earth. So you've got these rough places. You have to go through. There's no going round them. There's no climbing over the top of it. There's no burrowing underneath it. It's through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom. But then the Lord promised not only to make the rough places plain, but the darkness light. There's no man can cause the darkness to flee away when darkness comes upon the earth. You can put artificial light on, but the darkness is still there. But he's promised to make the darkness light. Now some of you may be in a dark place, and it's a hard place, isn't it? A cause that's too hard for you. We think of the days prior to the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. You know, they were dark days, those 300 odd years before the coming of Christ. They were dark days. But there was a wonderful promise the Lord gave, didn't he? Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. And you look as the morning begins to dawn naturally upon the earth and the sun starts to rise. The darkness just flees away, doesn't it? The Lord does it every day. And he can do it every day in the hearts of his dear people. And those of you who might have got a hard case, a hard cause this afternoon, and you're walking in darkness, look to him who is able to cause the sun of righteousness to arise with healing in his wings. And you think of that beautiful promise that the Lord gave to Malachi and how it was to be fulfilled. When the dear Redeemer was born, what do we read? A light to lighten the Gentiles, Simeon said, and the glory of thy people Israel. And oh, the darkness of those days was to flee away. And then he confirms it so beautifully, doesn't he, in that beautiful promise, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. He's promised to do it, you see, because he has all power. And because he loves his dear children, in his love, you see, from the heavenly love given by the Lord, that will cause this hard case to be overcome by him and put down and deliver the soul of the child of God that's in it. And then, as I hinted at this morning, you may have a hard case in your heart. It may be a promise the Lord has given you. And I name this morning the case of Abraham and Sarah. Those promises sometimes the Lord gives to his children. And you may say, well, as years go by and time passes, well, Lord, it's too hard now. However will it be fulfilled? But what he has said will never return void. It was wonderfully fulfilled to Abraham and Sarah, wasn't it? And it can be wonderfully fulfilled today. And I pray that that beautiful word, it drops in, so I will name it, will be fulfilled in our day, if it's the Lord's will, what was spoken to Jeremiah. And remember all the sorrow and bondage and anxiety the dear man knew, and the weeping. And what did the Lord say? Again, they'd known it before. I will build thee. You may say, oh, well, it's impossible. I'm so pulled down. I'm so broken up. Again, I will build thee. And thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Yes, a beautiful word. And may the Lord sweetly fulfill it. Again I will build thee. That is in thy own heart, in the church of God, throughout Zion. Again I will build. Satan's doing all he can to pull the causes down. But you know the Lord can build them up if it's his holy will. And when he builds, he will wonderfully fulfill his work. And it will be built. Again I will build thee. You see, they'd known it in days past, but because of unbelief, because of sin, because of the ruins of Satan, they've been brought right down. And then just finally, we think of the children of Israel in bondage in Babylon. Oh, and there are many today that are in bondage. They feel shut up. And Lord, will we ever come out of this prison? Will we ever come out of all the bondage we feel? Well, there they were 70 years in it. And look at the prayer of the dear prophet Jeremiah and others, Zechariah, how they pleaded the Lord would bring them up. And he did it. In his time and in his way. The cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me, whether it's in your soul, in providence, in your family, in the church of God, or whatever it be, even in this nation may it be so. Well, I've only touched the surface of this beautiful word today, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the text, if nothing that I've rambled round, for his name's sake. Amen.